Opportunity to share. And since you all know who I am, I wonder if I could take just a minute. I've met some of you. Could we just kind of through a lot of things in our lives in order that we might help other people? I know he's put me through a lot of things that I wouldn't have chosen to go through, but I know that I've come out a stronger person for that. And perhaps some of those things I can pass along to some of you, and you won't have to go through those hard times that others have had to go through. I'd like to share just a little bit about some of the things that are on my heart, and I hope we can really share back and forth with questions. I think one of the things that really touches my heart as I see young people in junior high and high school, first years of college, is how healthy and vibrant and sharp-eyed and full of good ideas. And it's just so exciting. It's exciting for me because I've seen a lot of young people who are not that way, who would probably give anything in the world to be that way. But somewhere along the line, they got mixed up with something they shouldn't have. Probably knew better. Probably knew better right at the time. Shouldn't do this. I know I shouldn't do it. But it just happens sometimes unless you're constantly on guard and at watch every moment. So insidious. Our culture today gives so many messages that are really harmful to us. You turn on television, what do you see? You see commercials for beer and cigarettes. Well, not cigarettes on television, but certainly a lot of beer advertisements. And you see billboards with beer and liquor and cigarettes and magazines, page after page of things like this that really are harmful to our body. And God did make us, and He did make our body. And in His Word, He tells us very clearly, and I'd like to share that scripture with you. You're probably familiar with it, the scripture that talks about our body being a temple of the Lord. I don't have that marked today. Who has that scripture? 2 Corinthians 3:18, thank you. Well, we'll see here in a moment. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Anyone else? Let's see.
1 Corinthians 3:18.
Okay. Let's try that. 1 Corinthians?
6.
6? Okay. I'm having trouble turning to it. 6:19-20. Flee immorality. I'm starting just a little bit ahead of that verse. Flee immorality, for every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. And in your body is your mind, your spirit. The Spirit of God dwells within you. You know, I haven't been a Christian all my life. I just came to know the Lord about 6.5 years ago. And one of the things I didn't know that was working anyway in my life was that anytime you sin, it always affects not just you, but the people around you. And that was really brought home to me in reading. I'm reading through the Bible in the daily walk that the Navigator puts out, and we're dealing in Joshua now. And Joshua is one of the judges of the land of Israel, and he tells the people when they take a city that they are to go into the city, conquer it completely, and he gives them specific directions for what to do with the booty that is in the city, the gold, the copper, all of those things. One man is taken by the lust of what he sees, and he wants some of that for himself. And he takes the gold and shekels of silver, I believe it is, and he hides them, he buries them under his tent. And the Lord reveals this to the leaders, to Joshua. And he says, I am not with you anymore because Israel has sinned. Only one man took it. Only one man took it, but the Lord says, Israel has sinned. Bring your people before me, tribe by tribe, person by person, family by family, and person by person. And Joshua did that, and they singled it down to the one person who had taken that, and he confessed that he had taken it. But the Lord did not punish just that one man. It was his entire family, his livestock, and all his possessions were destroyed. Only one man had sinned. You know, I heard my son say so often, I'm not hurting anyone but myself. But that is not the case. You do hurt the people around you. Anytime you sin, it hurts the people around you. I have a son and daughter. Daughter, 23, graduated from OU 2 years ago, and a son, 22. And our son had a really difficult time when we moved from Connecticut, where we were living, to Dallas when he was 13, almost 14. He had been involved in using some marijuana in Connecticut, but when we moved, it was so painful for him. It was a difficult move for him, as you probably know if any of you have moved, that he really did start using more drugs at that time, and he used almost every drug there is, not quite, but it certainly did start with marijuana. And it was painful to see. Like any other parent, we didn't know what was happening in the beginning, but we knew he had changed. He had changed a lot, and he changed very quickly. And we could see his eyes were not right when he'd come home from being out riding the bike for a while, been out with his friends. We didn't know what it was. His grades started going down. He started being much more secretive. He started not bringing friends home. And then I think we knew in our hearts that he was smoking marijuana, but we didn't know what was involved. We didn't know much about what marijuana does or how dangerous or undangerous it might be and the effects of it on the body. We just knew we were dealing with a different person. And when he started using all sorts of things, it just happened that our son, and his particular metabolic process, was perhaps more delicate than most, but I've seen the progression of a person who just starts smoking marijuana maybe on weekends and then goes maybe twice a week. I've seen what it does to them step by step, so that his progression was really not very much different, except it happened more quickly because of his particular body. He's highly allergic and very sensitive to many things. So it happened more quickly for him, and it happened perhaps more radically in that it affected his mind right away. And marijuana does do that, contrary to what a lot of people still believe after all the evidence is in. So if I may just perhaps start at this point sharing just a little bit about some of the research that I've had to learn about what marijuana alone does to the body, because marijuana is so available, as you all know. I expect you could walk out on the street right out here by Glen Eyrie and within 5 minutes have some. It's really readily available. I remember hearing about it first on college campuses back in the, 60s probably, when it really started hearing about it. And it was the radical far-out people that were using it. But look, in that short of time, how common it is. It's kind of accepted in some circles and so common. And now the big focus is on cocaine. There's a big difference, too, between what those people in the 60s were smoking than what is on the street today and what people are smoking when it comes to marijuana. I'd like to explain some of the difference there. First of all, it's interesting to know that marijuana has over 460 identified chemicals in it. That's identified ones. There are some that aren't identified. There are 60 cannabinoids in those chemicals, and those are not found in any other plant except in the cannabis plant, marijuana plant. And one of those, there are three then, There are three cannabinoids in particular chemicals, but one of them is especially the chemical that is responsible for the high that people get when they smoke marijuana. And that's hydrocannabinol, tetrahydrocannabinol. It's a long word. And you know it as THC. That's a shortened name. And that's what's responsible for getting you high. And what those people were smoking in the 60s was about 0.5% of THC. Not very much. And what's on the street today is at least 10 and 20 times that strength of THC in it. Through cross-cultivation, what is that called when you work with plants to breeding in cattle? And yes, they worked with plants to get the strongest strain, because the stronger it is, the higher you get, and the more money you can get for selling it. And that's what drugs are. They're just ways for some people to prey on others to make money at the expense of another person. So the THC content is just dramatically high now. Acapulco Gold, and there are all kind of names for the most potent strains. Everybody on the street knows that. I don't know, I've been kind of out of touch with the street for a year and a half or 2 years, so I'm not familiar with the latest names or the prices, and I'm glad. I'm glad I've had enough. The THC in marijuana is what accumulates in your body. If you were to smoke a marijuana cigarette this weekend and then only every weekend, you think, well, I'm not smoking very much, you know, it can't hurt me. But the fact is that marijuana has a half-life, so that it leaves the body only gradually and probably never completely leaves the body. So it builds up. If you were to smoke, say, on Saturday night at a party, the THC builds up. If you were to have another one, it builds up higher in the body. And then it starts gradually fading if you don't smoke anymore. But by the time you reach the next weekend, you're not here where you started. You're up here. You smoke another one, and you go higher. It starts leaving if you don't have any more during the week, and it stops here instead of here where it was last weekend and here before you started. So there's an accumulation in the body. THC is fat soluble. It accumulates in the fatty parts of the body. Now compare that with alcohol. Alcohol is water soluble. You drink alcohol, goes into the body, and it washes out. After a certain period of hours, it's gone. The damage it's done is not gone, but the alcohol is gone. Now, THC, the active ingredient in marijuana, is not gone. It accumulates in the fatty parts of the body. And where are the fatty parts of the body? The fattest part of your body is your brain. Every cell in your brain is surrounded by a fatty tissue. It accumulates in the brain, the lungs, the reproductive organs, the fatty parts of the body. Let's look at what it does with those. First of all, in the brain, there's been a lot of research done, and I can't quote it all to you, but I'd like to share just a little bit. I said that each cell of the brain is surrounded by a fatty sheath that protects that cell, and through that cell come all the nutrients that the brain needs to work. And out of it go all the waste as the brain operates. When you smoke marijuana and the THC gets in your body, it goes directly to those brain cells and it thickens them, makes them thicker. That's why a person who's been smoking marijuana for a while has a loss of memory, or he doesn't function as quickly. The way the brain operates with the electrical impulses going from cell to cell, that's inhibited. We have a magnificent computer in our brain, and when the circuits in there aren't working right, let me just stop and ask, what time do we need to break? So somewhere around 12:30, 12:45, we may finish before, we may not, we'll see how it goes. Good. Our fantastic computer in our mind operates beautifully, and no one knows how it operates. But they have been able to find what makes it stop operating sometimes. And certainly the buildup of THC in those fatty tissues makes a difference. It just kind of shuts down. A circuit doesn't work. I don't know how that works. Yeah.
She got it going. It's going
in. Good. That will make it much more comfortable. A little stuffy, isn't it? Good. Is it? Is there a medium ground about what the buildup of THC in the brain does? And that it accounts for the... Someone want to come in? It accounts for the loss of memory that marijuana smokers have, a short-term memory. Often they don't remember what happened long ago, but it's what's going on right now. That's why you're sitting in class, you're stoned, you're not learning anything. You hear it, oh, you think you're doing great, you think you're working the problems just great, but it's an illusion that the high of a marijuana cigarette will give you. The fact is, 5 minutes later, 1 minute later, you're not going to remember a thing. It's a hard thing for the person who's high because they feel like their senses are heightened, but they're not. They're dulled, and the coordination of the person is hindered tremendously. So when you're high, it makes it really dangerous to ride a bike or skateboard or anything, because though you think you're moving in a smooth manner or that you've really got things under control, the very opposite is true. And they've done a lot of research over the last 15 years on how marijuana bothers driving skill. It's as bad, or it's actually worse than alcohol impairment, because a person smokes a marijuana cigarette, they're high for several hours, and then they come off the high. Usually they know when they're down, but the impairment remains for several more hours. The physical coordination impairment remains. So while they think they're okay, they're not. And there have been studies in three different states showing that 47% of the accidents caused in 1 year were due to drugs. The driver was impaired by drugs. And it was higher in Massachusetts, it was 67%. And somewhere in California, 87% of the fatalities recorded in that year were due to impairment by drugs. Think of all the lives that would be saved if people would not use drugs and drive. Or a lot of work accidents. More and more statistics are showing the amount of work accidents that are caused because the worker is impaired by drugs. Kind of strayed from the effect of THC buildup in the brain. There have been a lot of studies on rhesus monkeys and so forth because they're very similar to the human, and they found that the long-term user of marijuana has brain shrinkage. There are less cells, and that diminishes your intellectual capacity. I wish I could remember specifically the other things that happen in the brain. But one thing that most of you are very aware of, which research has certainly documented, is the changes that it makes through your brain, through your mind, in your personality and the way you behave. It really does change the personality. It works on the pleasure center in the brain. You no longer experience pleasure like you did before. You become addicted, and marijuana is highly addictive, contrary to many reports that you'll read. It's highly addictive because of the work it does on the pleasure center. And many people just go from one high to the next because that's all they're living for once you get hooked in. And a lot of young people that I knew in Dallas would tell you, look you straight in the face and say, I can quit anytime. I can quit anytime. I just don't want to. But the fact is, they're hooked, and they would really have a very difficult time, and some of them couldn't do it without help. And some of them have a very hard time doing it with help. All of the drug treatment centers that we have, I've seen many youngsters go in and out and in and out and in and out, and they can't stop it. They just have no longer have control over it. And they thought they did. And they'd still look you in the eye and say, I could stop anytime I wanted to, but I don't want to. Well, we talked about the other fatty areas of the body being the lungs. We're now very well aware of what cigarettes do to the body, all the dangers. There's even a message printed on the package of cigarettes now saying hazardous to your health. There are carcinogenic chemicals in the smoke, and they build up in the lungs. They coat the lungs. The lungs no longer work the way they should, and cancer start. If cigarettes are bad, marijuana has at least 70% more benzopyrene, carcinogenic chemicals in it, than regular cigarettes. So imagine what they do to the lungs. And a researcher in Alabama ran across some strange occurrences in people who had been smoking marijuana over a long period of time. He found that they were, many of them run down, tired. They pick up infections that went around. So he started looking at that. And they found how marijuana, the THC, the other chemicals identified and unidentified, how they affect our immune system. They really make a dramatic difference in the white blood cell count. It just goes down. And white blood cells is the key to our immune system. That's what keeps us healthy. That's what keeps us from getting everything that's going around. That's what keeps us from getting polio. That's what keeps us from getting all those things. Our immune system. THC just obliterates the white blood cell count. When you stop, evidence shows that it comes back up almost to normal. But while you're smoking, while the THC is in your body, that stays a long time, it really diminishes your body to handle anything. You feel lethargic, tired, not as peppy. So it really knocks out the immune system. It does other things to the lungs, more technical perhaps, and we won't go into those. Those are two major things. THC accumulates in the other fatty part of the body, the reproductive system, the human reproductive system. Look how it affects the female and the male, just briefly. And it's kind of amazing what it does. You're probably all aware that the hormone in the body in males that is responsible for their body growing and maturing to become an adult male, a man, is testosterone. And what happens with the THC accumulation in the body is that the testosterone level just diminishes dramatically, just way down. And in the female, the testosterone is raised. And what would that do to the human body? In the male, if he no longer has a hormone that helps his body mature into the body of a man, his voice does not change like it should when it should. The hair does not grow properly. Whiskers, hair all over the body. He begins developing female curves in his body. Because the male hormone is lowered, he becomes more female. That's been shown more and more in the long-term users of marijuana. Very interesting. You probably spotted some very slender, they haven't filled out their muscles that men have in their shoulders and arms. A long-term marijuana user, they don't develop. That's part of the manliness that develops as a result of the testosterone working as it should. And in the woman, the female, the heightened testosterone hormone that is now in her body allowed to be higher than it normally would be, because of the chemicals in marijuana, she becomes slightly more masculine. She doesn't develop the curves that she normally would. She sometimes develops facial hair, more masculine characteristics. Remember that a female is born. At the moment she's born, she has all of the eggs to produce a baby in the future that she will ever have. And evidence has shown that the eggs are changed because of the chemicals. They are fatty tissue, and the THC accumulates in those eggs. and it changes them. That's all she's ever going to have. She's not going to produce anymore. Research has shown that the babies born to users of marijuana are underweight. That makes them tend to problems an underweight baby will have. Doesn't have the strength he should to survive. There'll be many more miscarriages among people who use marijuana and other drugs. Many more miscarriages. And should she conceive and a fetus begins developing, the THC is passed through the umbilical cord into the fatty parts of that baby too. And should she nurse, the THC and other chemicals, whether it be in alcohol or cocaine or uppers or downers, those chemicals pass through the mother's milk into the baby. And a lot of people are not aware of that. That's why there's been, as you're probably aware, a lot of articles, advertisement about what you should and should not eat when you are thinking of having a baby, thinking of conceiving, thinking of becoming pregnant. No coffee, no caffeine, no alcohol, they're telling you. Well, think what happens if you're using marijuana, THC, uppers, downers, cocaine. So marijuana has a tremendous effect on the body, and it's a cumulative effect. And the strange thing that I've seen over and over again is that the user of marijuana does not see the changes that are taking place in him. Everyone else does. His family sees it. They never see it. They just don't see it. They're affected and impaired so much that they don't see it. And then when they get into it, it's almost too late. Some people, there's no way you can help them unless you almost physically tie them down, keep them from getting drugs, and let the drugs leave their body enough that they are rational again. You can talk to them. You've seen the changes in friends and people that you knew were on drugs. Withdraw from people. They're no longer outgoing. They're no longer interested in what they were interested before. They lose interest in activities at school and the outside activities. They become hostile. That's one of the first things that happens when the THC starts developing. Become hostile. You get angry very easily. You just fly off the handle for no reason. I guess I can really get wound up when I talk about marijuana because I've seen what it did to my son. And I hold it responsible for putting him in a mental hospital. Question?
What kind of drugs did your son take?
Well, he started with marijuana. But, and you'll read a lot of literature that says marijuana does not lead to harder drugs. But it does. It just inevitably does. Because you're high on that, now you're looking for higher highs. So, and your resistance to think clearly and to make proper choices is diminished. So you're much, and you're with people who are smoking marijuana. They're more apt to be dealing in drugs. So you're exposed to many more, and your ability to say no diminishes. I do know that he used PCP on two occasions, and alcohol, and some uppers and downers because they were there.
I have about three men. Young men who are there. They are addicted to sniffing paint. Now, do you have any idea what that does?
That is the quickest way to destroy your brain that I know about. That's the glue sniffing, or the paint sniffing, or the liquid paper sniffing, because they all have a chemical that makes you high. Well, a lot of people don't know that along with the high, they're destroying their brain. And it absolutely turns you into a vegetable. There's no way you can get your brain back. And I have seen, had a mother come into a Palmer Drug Abuse Program share group, and her son was sniffing paint.
What you're saying, then, is that the damage done is done.
It's done. There's no way. There's no way they can come back.
Carbapenem chloride, mm-hmm, makes the paint dry, but it never will leave the brain.
Mm-hmm. It is so sad. And people are ignorant. They get into it. They don't realize that. But sometimes they don't care. If they've been on other drugs and they sniff pain and so forth.
Yeah, but I care because these young men have good bodies. They were pregnant.
I wish I could take you into the locked wards of the mental hospitals I've been in. 5 of them. And to see how many of the young people there are there simply because of drugs. They may never get out again simply because of drugs. Really hurts to see them. Really hurts. I did want to share a couple other things, but let's get your question.
Well, what about
rock and roll? Well, that's a good question, and it's something that really interests me. Because I saw first my son get interested in rock music, and I saw that progress to heavy metal. Then I saw drugs become involved, and then I saw the heavy metal progress to what I call satanic rock music, such as AC/DC, Black Sabbath, Styx, Kiss,
Iron Maiden,
absolutely. What? Judas Priest, yes. Blue Oyster Cult, and there are a lot more. Those are the perhaps hardcorest right there. And, you know, I don't suppose there's any scientific proof that rock music is tied to drugs, but experience perhaps is the best teacher. And I am thoroughly convinced, I wasn't before, I love music, and I like rock and roll music. I grew up on it in the 50s, but I didn't grow up on heavy metal. And I must say, it really hurts my ears, and it makes a real bad feeling come right inside me. And now I understand why better, because there was not one youngster that I've ever met on drugs, or one youngster that I ever met in any of the mental hospitals that I've been in that was not a heavy rock listener. And they were the heavy metal, usually. The sicker the person, the worse he was, the more rock music he listened to, and the worse albums he listened to. Now, what we're not aware of, probably, is the fact that a lot of people recording that music are using drugs. They are involved in what can only be called satanic practices. Some of them overtly, though you may not have read it, you may have missed that particular article in the newspaper or in that magazine, but they have overtly announced that the reason they are recording that music is to lure, well, to create revolution, to I'm not sure what word you... to educate the youth in the ways they've come to know.
Influence.
Yes, absolutely, to influence their minds. The Beatles, one of the Beatles group made this quite clear. And I'm so sorry because I have this neatest little book that lists all the rock groups, some of their songs, some of the words of the songs, and quotes from members of a group. I don't have, so I can't share with you. And it isn't. It's just a little pamphlet that just shows specifically the songs and groups and quotes. But many of them are into worshiping Satan. They're into.
But and like Hit Parader and stuff like that. Some of the groups say they do it just for gigs.
I think there are a lot of rock performers that do things to attract attention, just to attract attention. But I think if you would look clearly into the lifestyle of the groups that we've mentioned, Village People included, and many others, John Denver has some questionable things there. I mean, there are a lot that you wouldn't think about. If you look at their lifestyle, what they're actually doing, what they're actually saying, you're going to see that they are indeed not And they may be covering up that way by just saying we're just doing it, but they're not.
Custom.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the times they'll say that. You see guys winning an award on TV, like the Grammy Awards and this. I thank God for this. You know, because most of us are like Christians or raised up in church. Say, oh, this guy, he's thanking God. He must. There's nothing wrong with him. And man, and he's using that to corrupt us. You know what
that's
I mean?
Right. Oh, that is right.
He's using that tool to get to us. And he's just saying, hey, I thank God for this album. He helped me out with this album.
You have to know what God they're talking about, too. Now, some of them are meaning God, but not the God.
They're meaning the devil, not that God.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I know that even the Beach Boys, Brian Wilson, the Beach Boys, is so strung out on drugs that he couldn't even perform a lot. And, you know, a lot of people think that group, and I like them. You know, they're a group that, you know, is kind of all-American, but he was so strung out on drugs he could not perform. Yeah, quit for a long time.
How many of the rock stars have died because of their involvement in drugs?
Yeah.
What kind of example do we want to follow that?
And in all your back and forth, what have you seen in the subliminal mind control messages caused from backmasking and everything?
Backmasking is if you play it backwards, there's a hidden message in it. Or if you listen closely, there's a an under message below the lyrics. The lyrics are bad enough.
That's right. But below that, there's another, just below what the audible ear will pick up, there's another message. It's either slowed down in speed, mm-hmm. or it's actually, you know, it's actually a message there. Mm-hmm. Some of these records you can actually play on backwards, and they say that I believe in Satan, I worship Satan, mm-hmm. he is my God. It goes yeah. on and on.
Take the Beatles song, My Sweet Lord. It's a beautiful song, isn't it? Do you know what Lord he's singing that to?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Did you notice the background music of that starts out Hallelujah, Hallelujah in the background, and it switches to Hare Krishna? No, not very many people know, can hear that or realize it. Mm-hmm.
See, the other thing is that people that are recording it, they may not be the ones that are guilty of doing it. Because the producer may be doing a backmasking. Let me tell you, it goes all the way into your department stores. You buy because of subliminal mind control. They have subliminal mind control in your major department stores. They play messages like, I am an honest employee. I am an honest employee. I am an honest employee. I will not steal from my employer. I will not steal from my employer. One of the major department stores in New York cut their loss by $250,000 by using subliminal mind control in 1 year's time. Just what their employees stole, not counting what was shoplifting. And I'll tell you, you tell me a business that you don't go into today that you don't hear music playing.
And just a small part of that is the type of music they play in grocery stores, the kind to get you to buy. They've done a lot of research on that. So music has a great effect on our bodies. That reminds me of the experiments done on what music does to living things. There have been several experiments that have shown that if you play music that harmonizes, melodic, pretty melody to plants, they will grow much faster. And corn will produce like twice as much or more. They've experimented on a lot of different kinds of plants. And corn produces the number of corn cobs and so forth, and seed produces a head on it. And they found that melodic music with rhythms that fit our body rhythms produces a tremendous harvest. They grow faster, better, produce more. But when you play rock music that has a beat that is antagonistic to the rhythm of our body, they don't grow. They actually have died. So if it does that to plants, we're much more sensitive than plants. Think what it does to us. Yes?
Tell them about the backward masking. I know there's a lot going on, but there's also a warning about that. I read sometime or in a book about, I think it was a Christian book, about backward masking, that a lot of it's what you think's in there. Mm-hmm. Some of it is true. You can't hear it, but they played a record. The station played a record and said, "Listen to this message," and they told them the words. And they had these people listen to it. One group listened to it and said, "Yeah, we heard the message, definitely." Then another group, they said, "Listen for a satanic message." And they said, "Well, we thought we heard one." And then they had another group, they said, "Just listen to it play backwards," and they didn't hear anything. And the record was a George Bowie Shea record. So a lot of it is what you perceive.
And I think it's been blown out of proportion many times. But that does not cover up for the times where it's actually used. So you have to be careful. Absolutely. Was there a...
Back to drugs. Mm-hmm. What if you're innocent, you go to a party of a group of kids, and someone puts a drug into your drink, and you know that something has changed, must have put something in your drink. Well, I don't think you should just shrug it off. I think you ought to go and get help from somebody and find out who's doing it so they can stop it.
The way I feel about drugs, after all of the lives I've seen ruined about it, is that you should report anything immediately. Anyone who's dealing drugs needs to be stopped immediately.
I got mine on the opiates one time, and I actually thought somebody had drugged me, because I was just so, it was horrible.
A young lady in Dallas that her boyfriend had put some drugs in her drink, hoping to take away some of her inhibitions. And everybody is different. Everybody reacts differently to everything. Because we're unique. God made us individual and unique. And her body could not handle that. And she has been in a mental hospital since that time. That boy just tore him up. He didn't mean that. He didn't think about it. But how many of us think about it? You have to be, prevention is the name of the game when it comes to drugs. Question.
Can you tell me stuff about black magic and stuff?
Well, I can tell you a little bit, because as I was searching, I was always interested in spiritual things, and as I was searching, I ran across the Edgar Cayce books in the library. I was in my early 20s, and it really piqued my interest in parapsychology and the powers of the mind and the occult. So I began doing a lot of reading. And I even organized a group in Connecticut, a chapter of Spiritual Frontiers Fellowship, so I could hear more people speak on the subject and meet other people who are interested. And the Lord really worked in my life, even though I was not a Christian at that time, to protect me from getting too involved in parapsychology and the occult. I met a lot of people who were very involved. I met mediums who conducted seances. I met a lot of people whose lives were messed up, because you may know the scripture in God's Word that says Satan is like an angel of light sometimes. He lures you step by step. And it's just like drugs. It's an addiction when you get in it. You go step by step until you're in so far, you're addicted. And a lot of people, including myself, know there is a God and know there's a spirit world, kind of hazy about it, don't have any strong convictions. And they don't know that there is definitely a spiritual world, and there's a good spiritual world, and there's an evil, bad spiritual world. And so they think anything spiritual is good, but it's not. And I learned that the hard way. I learned that there is definitely something to black magic. There's no question about it. And I've learned since then, and the Lord protected me miraculously several times, that the dark side is satanic. It is from Satan. I'd like to share with you a scripture. In Deuteronomy 18:9, God's word says, "When you enter the land which the Lord your God gives you, you shall not learn to imitate the detestable things of those nations. What is he calling detestable? There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through fire. You heard of fire walking? Done here in the United States even. You shall not be found anyone among you who makes his son or his daughters pass through the fire, one who uses divination, one who practices witchcraft, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who casts a spell, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For whoever does these things is detestable to the Lord. And because of these detestable things, the Lord will drive them out, and so forth.
Where's that from?
That's Deuteronomy 18:9.
One day I was doing a survey on buildings to see if we were going to put heat and air in it. And I opened the door to a room about the size of this. And there was an altar in there. The room was red. And it was set up for strictly nothing but Satan worship. And I guarantee you, I stepped into the room, and it was just like a force of weight driving against my body, just as though something was pushing on my body. Folks, I hit the door, I left, I called the man, said I have no desire to do your work, and I've never been back. But I guarantee you, you do not, if you don't believe in the spirit world, I'm going to tell you it's real.
It is very real.
It's real. It's so real that it's as real as you sitting in your chair right now. That's how real it is. Guarantee.
What about levitation? At least get the better hour.
Well, I've tipped tables. Only I didn't tip it. The devil did. I didn't know it at the time. Now I look back and I think, how on earth could I have been so blind?
I called the man, said I have no desire to do your work, and I've never been back. But I guarantee you, you do not, if you don't believe in the spirit world, I'm going to tell you it's real.
It is very real.
It's real. It's so real that it's as real as you sitting in your chair right now. That's how real it is.
What about levitation? At least get the better
hour. Oh, I've tipped tables. Only I didn't tip it. The devil did. I didn't know it at the time. Now I look back and I think, how on earth could I have been so blind? Levitation is whatever the Lord can do, Satan can do as a counterfeit.
Amen.
And as this scripture in 1 Peter says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you at the proper times, casting all your anxiety upon him, because he cares for you. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And that's what he does. And that's how he's devoured a lot of people and a lot of young people and almost devoured me. Because of my interest in the powers of the mind, thinking that the powers of the mind can levitate, can cause things to move. Well, the Lord uses our minds in many ways. He brings to mind scriptures. He gives us wisdom through our mind. He can use it. So can the devil if you let him. And levitation, psychokinesis, astral projection, all of those things are simply weapons of the devil.
When you see a magic show and they actually levitate the girl, do you believe that or do you think that's an illusion? That's a fact, folks. That's a fact. Don't let
it.
I've been one of the people that it's a fact. That's mind control.
Mm-hmm. Mind control. Est. Those are all satanic. Yes?
I think something needs to be said here. Because Satan is very real, as we all know. And his power is very forceful in the world. But I think that we need to know, and that our children all need to know, that he who is within us is greater than he who is in the world.
Absolutely.
I very strongly believe that unless we know Jesus Christ personally, we do not have the power to defeat Satan. But with Christ in our lives and with him in our hearts, Satan is
he's a defeated pro.
Absolutely. That's
sure,
most important.
That's what we're just saying. You don't need to worry about it if you,
If you have Christ in your life and he's your Lord and Savior, you do not need to worry about the power of Satan, because the Lord is much stronger, and he that lives within us when we've accepted the Lord, then we have power over Satan.
I just want to tell you, someone told me this, and they told me it's
true. What's more about mind control? I don't know much about that. I mean,
you've probably seen advertised, it's really spread rapidly, as have all occult practices in our country. Now every newspaper has a horoscope.
Horoscopes, didn't remember that?
Uh-huh. Astrology?
Like little Ouija board or something like that?
A little Ouija board is a very powerful satanic tool. I would never touch one.
There.
Mind control, let's get back to your question about...
Like reincarnation.
Reincarnation is kind of, all of that is in the field of parapsychology and the occult, and it is a lie of the devil. The Lord tells you very clearly here, there's no such thing as reincarnation.
There is a point that man wants to die after this judgment.
What is wrong with the Ouija board? That, I'm glad you asked that. A Ouija board has a pointer on it that you rest your hands on, and you ask it questions. Well, the answers come from Satan or emissaries of Satan.
It will work.
And oh yeah, it works.
Dungeons and Dragons.
Dungeons and Dragons is another tool of Satan. Absolutely, do not get involved in Dungeons and Dragons. How many youngsters, the famous one of the boy down in Texas,
yes.
It is a way of... well, you start crossing fantasy and reality. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you're dealing in that game, you're dealing with demons and dragon masters and killing, and that's not of God. It's not of God.
I played it before in school when I was a lot younger. It really is. I mean, I played it, and the whole thing, you can't distinguish between reality and fantasy in that game. Yeah, the more you play it, the more dull the distinction becomes. And I've heard of people mm-hmm. that, commit suicide because they were killed in the game, and they can't distinguish between what's real and what's fantasy.
Now, that seems weird to hear, and you think, how can that be? But a lot of the things we've touched on this morning sound weird and kind of, how can they be? But please, you take people's word for cyanide. You don't go out and take cyanide because someone tells you it's poison. These things are poison too. Did we answer your question on the Ouija board enough?
No.
I'll hear one by
it. Well, and I don't think we really answered your question on mind control. I was very interested on mind control, because I know our mind, we've untapped resources. We use such a small part of our mind. So that's where I got hooked into the occult and parapsychology. So in looking at mind control and hypnotism, I would never allow someone to hypnotize me, ever. Because you relinquish control. And when you relinquish control of your body, and you're not... something can come in.
In other words, all that stuff is just satanic. It's one big word, baloney.
You bet. Well, not baloney.
Fact and true.
But satanic and dangerous and deadly.
Okay. Yeah. My
aunt got
hit with this.
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with that?
Well, just like everything can be used for right or wrong, probably hypnotism can also be used for right or wrong. But it is so close to the edge that I would never take a chance. I would never do it.
Being able to get off of the edge of alcohol or something by being hypnotized.
Losing weight. Mm-hmm. Losing weight, getting off cigarettes.
They use it a lot on witnesses. People that witness a crime, but they can't remember exactly what the person looks like or something.
Yeah, you use lots of things for good or evil. But I learned enough in my involvement in the occult. I don't want to take a chance. I was involved in occultish things.
Like what?
Ouija board,
uh-huh.
Tipping tables, seance. Yeah. I didn't.
Satan
did. And I don't want to be involved in him, anything he has to do with. Yes?
I know some people that go to different schools in town, in Norman, even like they're so satanic. And at a party, this kid, he said he was talking to the devil, and he made fire.
Yeah, devil can do that. Sure.
I didn't know what to say.
And people do that for various reasons. They want attention, they want power, and they're willing to do that.
Well, also, this is more of a question than a statement. If people use, I mean, if they've been helped or good has come from hypnotism, wouldn't they mind, then they might lean toward that again for something and get dependent, you know. Can't work it out for themselves.
Rather than depend on our one source, the Lord. It certainly could be. I'm not sure what all the bad parts of hypnotism could be. Yeah, I really don't know. I just know enough that I'm not going to get involved. No way. Because when I accepted the Lord as my Savior, I was also convicted that I had to renounce all occult and things in the area of parapsychology. And I was led through a prayer of renunciation in the church. And it took me 2 weeks after that prayer of renouncing all of those things to carry out the decision. I knew what I had to do. I had to go home and burn my library of over 300 books in the field and to get some things out of my house. And I burned those one by one in the fireplace one afternoon. And I'll tell you that part of me inside burned that afternoon. The intense interest I had had in the field of parapsychology was gone totally.
Let's deal once with one.
I would like to share a little bit about that. I think I've talked about our mind being such a marvelous computer. Yeah, our whole body is just a fantastic machine that God has put together, and only He knows how it works. We're still learning so much about it. Our life is kind of like a cup. A cup that's filled with dirt, just packed down in there. And when we become a Christian, it's like when we read the Bible and the Holy Spirit comes to live within us, it's like putting that cup under a faucet of water. You know what happens when water runs in? It kind of boils up and it cleans out gradually as the water's going down in there. Well, what happens? You know, you hold a cup and even dust comes down through the air. Constantly things are going to get in there. You keep reading God's word, praying, it keeps washing it out. Well, what happens when you go to a movie or hear rock music? It's like throwing handfuls of dirt in that cup. And it makes it harder and harder for you to be cleaned out and conformed into the image of Christ and to grow. So we need to do everything we can to keep that cup clean. And that means watching what goes in our body, our mind, our spirit. That means being really selective on the music we listen to. That means being really selective on the magazines we read and on the movies we see, what we put in our mind. You know the saying, the computer saying, garbage in, garbage out? That's us. That's us.
Man, take it in his heart.
And what are you going to think on if you've just been to an R-rated movie or if you've just read a magazine? The Lord tells us in His Word to think on all things of good reputation. Who can quote that passage?
Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good repute, if there's any excellence in anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things for His glory.
Thank you. Yes.
You know, so many times we ask what's wrong with it, and we're asking the wrong questions because we ought to be saying what's right with it.
Yes. Yes.
We go ahead and find out.
You know, I just thought it was such fun to watch Dallas. But boy, God's word convicted me, and he said, what are you letting in your mind? What is going to come to your mind? You're going to be thinking on those things? I mean, there's nothing in that show that's worth thinking about. Nothing. And I have now, once I made the decision, once God convicted me, I made the decision, it's so easy not to watch those things now. So easy.
Where's your son today?
He is much better. The Lord is working in his life through love. He is in Norman, independent, living by himself at the moment, and I think the Lord is healing him every day. But he's gone through a lot of things that are a whole other subject. I mean, just so what the Lord has brought him through, what the devil put him through first, through rock music and drugs and so forth. Oh, boy. We need to kind of wind up here. Mickey?
I remember two nights ago, no, last night. Was it last night? Well, anyway, Leroy Irons said he'd seen a guy with the black cross on his neck. And he asked the guy, what's this mean? You know, he said, this is Black Sabbath. He said, well, what's Black Sabbath? You know, he says, well, 2 points. You remember the 2 points? He said, we're out to corrupt the morals of the world, you know, and to glorify Satan. I did a paper back in high school last year on backmasking and the occult, and I found out that it was it's this thing called the New World Movement. John told me a lot. He knows a lot more than I do because he's read a lot more books than I have. But it's a thing called the New World Movement, and it started like 300 or 400 years ago. And it's what it is. It's just to gradually corrupt our morals, you know, things that we learn that are right. Like, you're not supposed to do this, you're not supposed to do that. You know that's right. Well, see, you see rock music, and you see television, and you see movies, and they're all just a little bit, little by little, corrupting our minds, and they're putting dirt in our minds. You see? And John, I really want you to just share something that you know about that. Because what little that you told me, man, it just...
I'll share something that I've seen. It's not exactly the line, but it's the New Age movement. But
yeah, that's
right.
1 Corinthians 13, the biggest thing that you see everybody preaching nowadays is this love, isn't it? And 1 Corinthians 13, it says, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. And Satan's big thing is to lie. The Bible says he's a liar and the father of lies, and he's filling our minds with lies, and if we choose to believe it. See, the thing is, it's not some of the stuff, like we call it satanic. Well, in my mind, anything... You know, it can be really mild. They may not say, well, we're preaching, you know, the devil or anything. Peter, Paul, and Mary talked about a lot about God. They really did. They believed God and stuff like that. And I'm talking about they believed the true God, but they did not have faith in Jesus Christ. They were not born again. One of them, I know today, is born again. And the messages that they're putting out in some of their music is wrong. It goes against God's truth. If it goes against God's truth, even though it may not be labeled satanic or occult or whatever it is, then its source is from the devil. And that's all there is to it. It doesn't, if it's not God, if it's not from Him, it's like one of the speakers said, that if it's not, does not help, it hinders. You know, if it's not helping you in your walk with God, it's hindering you. It's a way to throw it off. And that's all I have to share.
John, what is the name of the book, Rainbow...
Yeah.
Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow.
Yeah.
And this is perhaps the latest book and a really good one out on the New Age movement and what to watch out for. Because so many people get caught up in peace and love and harmony. But if it's not peace, love, and harmony from God...
Well, they call it God.
They call it God. That's why it's so subtle. That's why you have to be on so alert. The devil is really lurking to catch you in many different ways. I'd like to share one other thing, because what I found, too, in young people who were involved in drugs and rock music, that there was often another element contained, which we hear preached at us from the newspapers, radio, television, the whole culture, alternate lifestyles, gay rights. There's a lot of pressure on people today for homosexuality, and to condone it, to accept it. And God teaches very clearly that homosexuality is wrong, looking in Leviticus 18, verse 22, he says, "You shall not lie with a male as one lies with a female. It is an abomination." And in Romans 1, 21, "For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. Professing to be wise in many things, they became like fools." And it's a progression that you see in a person who is using drugs and gets involved in rock music. It's a progression. Because God says in his word, verse 24, "Therefore, God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity, that their bodies might be dishonored." You get so far and God just turns it over to you. He turns you over. "And God, for this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. Women with women and men with men." There are several places in the Bible where God says clearly, homosexuality is wrong.
What about some of these other rock, Christian rock bands, like Red Band and Petra? I mean, does that all relate to drugs, too, just as any other rock band?
I really don't know. Does someone else here know about that? I do know that I've felt that many Christian rock bands are just taking things from the world and compromising. Mm-hmm. They're compromising and introducing things that should not be introduced. They're not right. To answer your question, I don't know.
I got to say one thing before we go. Never dealt with any of these things, and I've been contented and happy and peaceful and healthy for 69 years. So why bother with it, see? I don't think I needed anything else.
One last word here, and then we'll close in prayer before we go.
Something about that Christian rock. Sure, there are some bands that are like that. That I think a few are like that, but a lot of them aren't. I know Petra. A lot of people think Christian rock is totally wrong, but there have been a lot of people saved at Petra concerts. A lot of people saved. And I think for me, it's a really good alternative to listening to rock music, because I really don't enjoy slow music. I really do not, because it really does not. I mean, I don't enjoy listening to it, and so it is an alternative to me. Because the things that are the worst things about rock music when I listen to it is the words, and the words are totally different in Christian rock. And sure, some bands are like that, but you can't generalize and say that Christian rock bands are bad, because a lot of people have been changed by that.
I have to agree with that. I don't know where that stands.
You will not reach a hard heavy metaller with slow music. You will not reach a heavy metaller with slow music.
We have an LDI person here who was heavy into rock music, and it's like withdrawal from that. He says you have to replace it with something, and he's just taking it step by step out of the rock music. It is late. Shall we close in prayer, and may I start, and will you finish for us?